All right. Welcome to Creating Cash Flow Coaching for June 13th, 2022. And Karen, you are a cash flow cat. There's been a lot going on lately. What can we talk about today?
Well, I thank you, Miata. I just have a question about something that came up in my workshop Saturday that I have now put into my, written into my agreement going forward, but you know, another retroactive learning that happened. But for the, I have people in my writing workshop write two timed prompts and then everyone reads for feedback in the group and I give feedback. And this is a group of six people. We've been together as this group for three months. And this particular Saturday, one woman in the group, this was the first time this happened, when it was time to read what she wrote to the prompt, she said, "Oh, I didn't write. I didn't write anything. I just felt I didn't write it." And so I was, on one hand, I was happy because about a year ago, I would have gotten really tweaked by that and taken it personally. And so instead I got investigative because I wanted to process that for the other people in the group. So I asked, what happened? So what happened in that moment where you did not let your hands touch the keyboard and just start writing? And she said, I felt boxed in. I didn't like the timer. And everything we do has parameters and a timer. You know, that's the way that I create these portals for people to get into their story moments. And so nothing was out of the ordinary that she was objecting to. That was all what would happen normally. And so then she kind of just said, "Well, I just didn't write. I just want to write." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, do you think when you know, after hearing what other people have written, and because other people wrote really well to this prompt, and I said, after hearing what they wrote, do you think you'd like to go back and listen to the recording and write to it?" Just, no, I don't think so. So this was different. This was just different than her normal behavior. This was different than anything I've experienced in the setting. And at the end of the workshop, when I did some Q&A at the end, and she was on with fewer people, she said, she started talking about it again and said, I did have a glass of wine and maybe that is why, maybe it was me, but yeah, that's how I felt. And so she's located in Europe. So it's like evening instead of morning, but you know, I said, what's Europe? What are you going to do? But then after the workshop, I thought, you know, that's a parameter for me. I actually don't care if they become Hunter S. Thompson when they're writing on their own, but I do not want them to have mood altering substances during the workshop because of the safety and the container of the group. It impairs the equanimity and everyone coming together in the same space. And in retrospect, her comments were more emotionally reactive, and it was just, it impaired our safety in the group, knowing that that is what happened. And, you know, it would have felt that way either way, but then she did give that piece of information. So my question is, well, I would love your thoughts on this. And I would like to be able to go to her individually and say that that's not going to work going forward.
Karen, this is a tough one. There's no question. This is a tough one. Is this the first time that you've worked with this person? I know you've all been together for 3 months, but is this her first sequence with you?
She's also worked privately with me and she came to me through my Airbnb. So she started there and did some privates, and then this workshop and other workshops that I was offering, other free workshops that I did. She was in.
That you've done.
And so she's familiar with me and my ways. Yes.
Right, right. And so you have never experienced anything out of the ordinary or anything that would make you, as the facilitator and leader of these groups, you've never experienced anything from her in the past that has raised any red flags at all?
Well, she's when she communicates with me through email, she says things like, oh, I'm scared. And I'm, you know, so there's like a fear. So I don't know if she was trying to assuage that, but you know, I work so hard at making it a safe space, and she is acclimated to the group by now. So it's a funny time for this to start. And she has, in the past, some of her comments have been more, you know, how it's landing on her emotionally in a way that the writer then has to sort of interpret or not can't always do something with.
Interesting.
And, you know, but so I've been sort of just letting that go. And but she's always written, you know, she's always written and fully participated. This is the first time that she's sort of like, and was sort of, you know, no, kind of like a no thank you about it.
Right, right. So interesting. And again, as the leader, how did you feel about the sort of atmosphere in the room? I know we're all on Zoom, but from your other participants?
Well, one other person jumped in and said how he kind of froze at the beginning. He described his process. He said, well, he's a therapist. And he said, in order to, you know, I do relate somewhat to what she's saying. And I kind of froze up, like I was following my character around and I wasn't finding any opportunities for them, and then found this setting, and then the scene started to happen. Mm-hmm. So he described the process of pushing through that resistance.
Right.
And then he was really successful with his writing.
With his writing.
And so I really appreciated that he described the process of what happens every time in order to get
right.
To be that reticence, that almost panic, that I don't know what to do, especially if people or two in their heads. So I'm trying to get people in their bodies so that they don't have to go through that.
Right.
And so, because, you know, I wouldn't have a glass of wine before the workshop. I don't think it would help at all. I don't think it would help. You know, I can imagine what it would be like, but it wouldn't help.
Right.
And it would really get in the way and in different ways, but I think it certainly did get in the way.
So thank you for answering some of these clarifying questions. I feel, Karen, that there are two separate issues here, although they showed up together, and that what I would encourage you to think about is these two separate issues and absolutely addressing them in the introductory contract, as it were, rules of engagement, however you want to put this, just establishing of the environment that you are committed to creating through your work and what that requires of everyone who is choosing to be a part of it. I don't know whether you remember, Karen, you probably do because it wasn't that long ago, when Abundance Bound for the financial empowerment program, we actually came out with a member contract. And do you remember that your portal to the financial empowerment program was blocked until you had the opportunity to read it, right? And that was an example of us realizing after the program had started that, oh, there really are things that we are committed to taking a stand for, and it isn't fair if we haven't defined those in the community, right? So this is, you're bringing a question that's incredibly useful for all of us who are building businesses and who are offering products and services. Because if we don't define how we need and want things to work, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of everyone who's taking advantage of the product or service, then we can't expect people to realize, to guess, right? It is interesting, the different time zones. And I think that is actually something that you can use essentially to soften the language a little bit when you are writing this part of whatever your document ends up being, which is to say something along the lines of, we have writers joining us from all over the world. And I understand that when we meet, for some of us, it may be the wee hours of the morning. For some of us, it may be late in the evening. And while I certainly don't want to dictate, you know, you would think up the language, you know, people's choices, I do insist, or you would decide how firmly you want to put the language, that it is, or you might say, you know, it is critical to the creative process as well as the safety of our group that all of us be fully present for our sessions. And for this reason, we ask that all of our participants refrain from any mood altering substances prior to our sessions, right? Something along those lines. And then I think the other separate issue that was raised here is, what are the quote unquote rules around participation in the exercises? Because it's almost interesting to me that you haven't encountered it. I think that really speaks to the environment that you have so powerfully created, because it wouldn't surprise me if, especially at the beginnings of a session, that you had people who were just like, oh, I didn't write anything, I didn't write. And so it feels like, again, this is a really valuable opportunity for you to address, these are the things that will happen. This is the resistance that you will likely feel at some point in our process. And then decide, or is your position going to be, I ask that you always share something? Is your position going to be, I ask that you always, you make every effort to push through and to share something. However, should you not, and you provide the phrase that they can use to pass at this point, right? You like set the boundaries of, because the other thing that it sounds like happened here is that her response was a little bit confrontational, a little bit, right? And that can then throw off the environment of the entire group and create a tension and anxiety where the others don't feel safe. So that I wonder if you don't want to define how people are expected to, you know, respond if for whatever reason they have not participated in a particular activity. But do you see how I actually feel like, we can always look at these things as gifts, I actually feel like she gave you two in this case. And in terms of speaking to her, this is tricky always when we haven't defined the boundaries, right? And so she hasn't broken a rule because it wasn't there. And however, what you might consider doing is just reaching out to her around whether there's anything that you can help with or anything that she wants to talk about with regards to that. And you might find the casual window to say, you know, you mentioned that you'd had a glass of wine, and I just want to tell you that one of the things I have found is that it can affect us in this way. And I'm actually so grateful that you brought it up, because what I've realized is that with all of us in different time zones, it's probably important for me to really state up front that it's so critical we come to class without any of these kinds of things. Is that helpful?
Oh, yes. I really appreciate your wording on the first part, on potentially wording an agreement. That's really clear. And it's reminding me of other workshops I've attended where that was a request that was made from the front end, and for good reason. And so I can hark back to that. To my own, maybe to my own experience with being in groups where that was a request. And there were really valid reasons for it. And mostly it's because of getting in touch with subconscious, which, you know, there's a lot of
absolutely
elements going on here that it pertains to. And then it's such an anomaly that seems to have, that can be explained away, that she didn't participate in the writing, that I feel less clear about needing to address that specifically,
that piece.
Because I would rather work on the atmosphere, like creating the, holding the space. What's happening in the, with the prompts is that I'm actually, you know, the prompts are actually quite advanced, but the fact that I don't say that makes them just do them. So we're writing at a really high level from them that, and if I said, oh, this is really, And, you know, when I talk to my peers about that, well, that's kind of an advanced prompt.
Right.
It's like, well, I know, but they don't have to know that.
Yeah. Yes.
Write better and get there faster.
And get there faster. No, and I completely see what you're saying. And so the bringing it into the room when it has literally never existed before may feel unnecessary and perhaps detrimental. And so what you might do is just sort of start a list, not that you'll forget, but it is amazing what can happen over the years, right, of doing this, of and see whether it's ever something that in any other way shows up, in which case you may, you know, want to revisit. Mm-hmm. But I think, great, you know, you now know that you want to talk to people about how they show up for the workshop sessions. And I also think it's these agreements that this is for everyone that we establish for our businesses, it really is a part of the service that you're offering, because you establish also how are we all going to be able to work at our best levels based on your experience and your expertise. And so I think the more that we think holistically from the outset about the environments that we're committed to creating, the more we really just, we bring people into a very clearly established environment, right? And all of these are just the gifts where we learn, oh yes, that does matter to me. And yes, let me make that clear. Great.
Great, great, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate Karen. It.
Of course. So welcome, Raquel and Elizabeth. Raquel, I'm not sure if you and I have actually had the opportunity to meet face to face, but I am Miata, and
yes.
I'm covering for Christine this month.
Yes.
And so how can I help today? What can we talk about? And I'd be grateful if you tell me if you are a cash flow kitten, cat, or tiger, so that I know where we are.
Yes. Hi, Miata. It is the first time we've met face to face, although I've attended a number of the Abundance Bound workshops and listened to your some of the conversations in the Q&As very sporadically because I've gotten extremely busy. So,
yeah.
So today was really more of a check-in because it's been time and I made the time, and I was hoping the hearings wouldn't take too long because I wanted to make sure that I did this as well.
Yes.
So I don't necessarily have a comment. I mean, a question, but it'll come to me. But I wonder if I might just share something about what you've just discussed with Karen.
Yes, please. Absolutely.
So as one of her students who took a master class with her, she's an absolutely fabulous coach, and everything she said that I understood and everything you said to help her was really profound and very, very, very helpful. I'm hoping to continue something I started last year as a pilot program, which is also kind of a writing coaching, but it's about, oh, you've never done it before, you want to do it now. And I've been there, so I can try and help you. So I just wanted to share that. I hope Karen is still listening. But anyway, it was a marvelous conversation and filled with incredible insight and good language, by the way. And I know I can listen to it again, but I took notes.
Oh, great.
Right. So I think pretty much that's it. I don't have a question for today because I just came to just listen and reconnect and stuff like that. However, one just occurred to me, and that is, but I'm sure I can figure this out online. If I wanted a one-on-one with you, as a matter of fact, I could do that online, right? Request it? Okay, thank you. So I won't take up anybody's time with
no
administrivia.
Yes, there is a mentorship page, one-on-one mentorship that you'll find from your dashboard. And you can go check that out there.
All right. Well, then thank you for the chance to engage and to speak with you. And I'm so glad that I listened in today because anyway.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to get to meet you face to face. And of course, if a question should come to you in the next hour, feel free to pop in with that.
Okay.
Elizabeth, how about you?
I mainly came to listen to today. I really liked what was said about agreements, though. I feel like that's something things have gotten easier as I've made more of a policy with people to say, this is what we're doing. And then I don't get so many little things, but I'm realizing I need to go back in and revisit that and update it a little bit with some of the things that sometimes people just agreements with payment and I've run into a couple of situations where a parent or an agent or somebody, a producer, pays for the coaching services for the person being coached, and then the person, or I had one woman that bought a coaching package for her husband for his birthday, and then the person being coached isn't as invested because they don't have skin in the game. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm wanting to update my agreements on that. And just, I mean, I'm usually hesitant about it anyway and saying, does this person really want to do this? Or are you just having them do it? So just what you were saying made me rethink that. And I need to go in and word that a little bit well or better than I have.
Yeah, that's such a tricky one, right? Because I just completed one-on-one mentorship with someone where it was a gift from his sister. And I had the other experience, which I think I've definitely had your experience, Elizabeth, but I had the other one where it was like he was so grateful for this gift. And he so dove in and took advantage of it. And it was so interesting, Elizabeth, because like you, I find that I always have a little bit of an uneasy feeling when people are asking about purchasing it for someone else. And I wonder whether there just isn't a way to really language that it's so important that we be certain that the person that we are gifting this to, that they are ready and willing, right? Within the framework of what it is that you offer. Because I think you're absolutely right that it's kind of, you know, we would never, or at least I think we would never, like we would never show up at someone's house and for a birthday or a holiday, give them a pet unless we were absolutely clear that this was something that they wanted. And I think with coaching, we may want it for our loved ones, but they themselves have to really want it for it to be a process that's remotely helpful.
Yeah. So when someone has wanted to gift this, one thing I have said is, why don't you just write them some sort of little gift card, make a gift certificate and say, I'm getting you this package and then they can contact me and then you can pay me. So that has worked to an extent, but I think I need to write up a contract that basically says, when you work with me, this is what to expect. And then have both the person paying and the person doing the lessons see it or sign it or something, just so that they, that we're all on the same page.
All on the same page. Yes. Yes. And it might be, do you already have, when someone begins their work with you, do you already have a contract essentially, or rules of engagement, something? So if I was coming to work with you, is there something that I would read and sign that really tells me what to expect?
I don't. I have some stuff in the contact form on my website that kind of is like, this is what the next step will be once you send the form. But, and I have set up some payment policies. So when someone fills out that form, then I send them information and say, this is when I'm available, and payments required at this time. And once I receive payment, then the lesson will be set and I'll send you more information. But I haven't had them really sign anything I think okay. I need to have some sort of what to expect kind of thing.
Elizabeth, can I ask you to remind me where you are? You're a cash flow cat tiger, and it's voice.
I feel like I've
coaching.
Been a, yeah, I'm a voice actor, but I'm also a dialect coach. So it's the dialect coaching that I'm talking about.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm a tiger that backslides into being a cat. So that's been me lately.
Yes. Trust me. I know the feeling.
I got a little side job recently, which has been helpful, but I also feel like it's pulled my focus more than I should have let it.
Yeah.
And so,
That takes a moment, right? I do believe that when we add things into our lives, and this is true always, but when we add things into our lives, we really need to give ourselves the grace of that re-centering, re-prioritizing, really figuring out how you're going to be showing up for the different things that are a part of your life. So I think that's completely, completely normal. I do think that it's one of the things that coaches, we have a tendency to really overlook, and we shouldn't. Like, I do think that as early as possible, and it does not have to be complicated, but I do think that there should be, whenever there is payment involved, there should be a contract. And it just protects you, and it also obviously protects your clients. And I think that you can decide whether the contract and kind of what to expect are rolled into a single document so that people really are signing, this is what the process is. And this is how you reschedule, this is how you must notify me and in what time frame, this is what you can expect from me. Do you provide session recordings? Like, all of these things, I think it is great, even if they are on your website, to put them in writing. And it also gives you the opportunity to talk about things like this, right? What it means if this is something that you haven't purchased yourself, or however you want to put it. I think I say this to everyone, when I started my business, I really saw contracts as being these cold documents with lots of wording and legalese that no one was going to read. And while I do think that when there's money involved, it is important that certain things are laid out very clearly, there's also no reason why the contract cannot bring in your voice, your energy, the way that you want people to feel when they're in interaction with you, and the way you want them to feel actually enrolling in a service that you provide.
I like that. I think in my mind, maybe contract is a trigger word, and I start thinking of, you know, loan applications and legalese and like big long policy manuals and things that people really don't want to read. But I can make it simple and approachable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we were talking about with Karen, it gives all of us the opportunity to think about what's important to us when people come to work with us. What's important to us? What's important to how their experience will be defined and established? And I think, yes, we have to kind of free our heads of all of those horrible, boring contracts that we've all kind of ignored, and say, what would a contract from Elizabeth look like? What would a contract from Raquel or Karen or Kate or Miata, what would those contracts look like?
I like that. Thank you.
Sure, and let us know what you decide to call it also, because I think that's also something that's hard for many of us, right? Is just like you said, we hear contract, but it doesn't have to be that. They're certain that there are some other names that would really suit you and what you're up to.
And I think it would help clarify too what their role is in this. Mm-hmm. I dialect coached a play and it closed on Saturday, and I went and they gave me, the cast had written me a thank you note, and people had said, thank you so much. And a couple of people said, I know I didn't implement everything that you said, but thank you anyway for the help. And one guy was really apologetic about that. Like, I was going to be like, you need to do everything I say. And I used to kind of freak out and be like, what are people going to think if somebody doesn't sound good in this role and my name's on the program as the dialect coach? Mm-hmm. I've been able to let go of that more and say, that's the actor's job. And I could tell who worked on it and who didn't, but I'm trying to be better with that. But I think if I could put something like that in the contract too, where it's like, this is on you. People ask me all the time, how many lessons is it going to take me to learn this? Well, it depends on you. You're the person. Depends on how much work you put in, how much you practice, how much you try and learn, and, you know, how much of the dialect you go watch in films or are exposed to somehow. So
absolutely, I think
that contract would help them understand it's not just all on me. And I have had a couple of actors before who've come to me and been like, I have an audition tomorrow, can you help me with this? And then saying, you're ruining my career when I say I can't do this.
Right.
No, you never learned this accent. You're probably not going to book this role when you're doing it at the last minute anyway.
Right. And that, you know, definitely, that's certainly something that I can see being in the language on your website, the last minute requests and your philosophies about that. This is something that I think I've spoken about in some of the financial empowerment program calls, but I don't think that I've actually spoken about it here, which is that I do feel that it's very important as people who have chosen to make a difference in the world, however we have each chosen to do that, I think it's so important for us to get very clear on what are the ways that the people we serve, that we know from our experience and years of doing this, what are the things that we know allow them to get the best possible result, right? And what are the ways that for you, and for everybody this is going to be different, but what are the ways for you that you must take a stand in order to be in integrity around the way that you are of service? So I'll give you an example. Someone cannot come to Abundance Bound and purchase a single coaching session. They can't do that, right? And I know lots of people who do that, who charge large amounts of money for single coaching sessions. I don't, because to me, in the area of our financial relationships, there is literally no way that someone can just come off the street and have a 1 hour session with me and I am going to have the ability to positively impact them in any significant way, right? And so for me, that's a hard line. And there are absolutely people who are like, why wouldn't you take money? If people want to pay you for a single, why wouldn't you do that? Because I don't believe the way that I want my clients to feel after the experience of coaching with me, I'm clear I cannot give them that in 1 hour. I'm clear I can't, right? So I don't, because I feel it would be out of integrity for me, and I feel that they will not get a result that I would be okay with. And so I share this because I think that we can all, and this really started with the question that Karen brought, or the scenario that Karen brought today, we're all always going to be assessing, sometimes redefining and adjusting what are our lines in the sand. And it's not because we're trying to be jerks or we're trying to be bossy or controlling. It's because we have a commitment to serving in a particular way. And so for someone, I think about you, Elizabeth, if I've got an audition tomorrow and I've never used this accent before, it certainly you have choices, right? Is there a particular offering for the last minute with the disclaimers that go with that? Or is that something that you don't do, right? And either one is fine. It's just that these are the areas where we get to decide, right? Does that?
Yeah, I like that. And I do have policies around the last minute stuff. I've just had people sometimes when I say, no, that's not something I can do, who freak out. And that's on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, we have people get mad all the time. And it's just a place that I'm super clear. I'd rather you be mad at me here than I not have done work that I can stand behind, kind of thing.
Yeah. Thank you. This is great.
Of course. No, thank you. So, everyone, I want to give you the opportunity if there is anything else. I will, of course, stay here until 1:30 my time, 11:30 Pacific, because people are free to come and go in these calls. But is there anything else that you'd love to talk about?
I had another question, Miata, that's a little bit different, but it's still along the lines of setting expectations for a group. And that is about, in regards to the origin story, the patter at the beginning of a workshop, especially for new people in a new setting. I'm going to be doing a free workshop in that group that Christine mentioned called Revel, that's women over 40. And it's a peer-to-peer learning space. And so I'm going to offer a workshop, so I won't really know who's coming. And but I'm going to do something similar to what I do in my Airbnb workshop, which is a short writing prompt based on people bringing personal objects to the workshop and writing from that. And so I normally just just rattle off credentials, but I feel like I might need, or I might benefit from doing more with the origin story in the introduction. And I'm just wondering what direction to go with that.
Mm. So when you say you're thinking about doing more with the origin story, do you mean specifically the story of how you come to be doing this work?
I think so. Yeah. And the version that I might go into is how I've benefited from being in writers' groups. Yes. And that's how I've learned the power of intuitive material coming up that the writer themselves, whether it's me or other writers in my group, can't see until it's pointed out by other members in the group.
Right.
And then that is something that can be used intentionally, and how that improves the writing so much faster. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's so, the thing.
Great. I love this question. And it really is, I feel, all tying together, right? What are the foundations of a truly successful business? What's really interesting here is that at the root of every business, we decide to offer a product or service. And I think it goes without saying for everyone here, we are really committed to having that service be excellent, right? And to make a difference, whatever the service is, to make a difference. And one of the things that we talk about a lot when we are coaching entrepreneurs, business owners, one of the things we talk about a lot is the fact that it can be very easy, overwhelmingly easy for us as small business owners, as entrepreneurs, to put all of our focus on the service and tweaking it and making it better and adding things on and figuring it out, right? Because that is absolutely our comfort zone. We generally came to the product or service with a passion for that product or service. What we didn't come with, most of us, was a passion for marketing, right? A passion for selling. We really like, I still would love to meet the person who like legit just is so excited about that. And I do want to throw in here, sorry, an aside again, which is that our mastery conversation guest for June, and it's a special date and time. It is a week from Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, is a genius advertiser, marketer. And we're really going to talk about making advertising human. So I want to share that with you three, because that could be a really useful one. But anyway, I digress. Okay. So, Karen, what I love about your question is that your question actually speaks to an extremely important marketing opportunity that many of us miss, and that actually is so aligned with the zone that we love, which is the service, the product. Why are we doing it? Why, right? And so I love that you said, I usually start with my list of credentials, and your credentials are, I mean, you are an incredibly accomplished writer, right?
Thank you.
And at the end of the day, those credentials probably help get people in the door of your website, signing up for your newsletter, coming to the free stuff. The credentials are not why people buy, right? They're not why they sign up. And when clients make it about the credentials, I think it has a tendency to make us feel insecure. And actually, it has nothing to do with the credentials. It's just what we as human beings are comfortable throwing out excuses when we're not ready to move forward with something. And sometimes the excuse is for you, sometimes the excuse is for me. Well, you know, she doesn't really have this degree or this experience that is what I'm really looking for, right? In general, what convinces someone to work with us, all of us being the sort of royal us, is the story. It's the story about why. It's the fact that we are moved by what this person is up to, right? By the change they are committed to creating and the way they are committed to making that change. That's really the reason why we sign up. So I would love to encourage all of us, and you may already have a version of this on your website. You may have a version of this that you've told I think it is one of the most important things that we can do is to really work to get to the root of why do I do this? Why do I do it in this way? What difference has it made in my own life? What difference have I seen it make in the lives of others? Why are you so passionate about it? And do that. It's funny because Karen, you know, I get all excited, ideas fly into my head, and then I just have to share them. But one of the things that just popped into my head is how neat would it be for you to do some sort of short-term workshop that was using your writing prompts and your skills as a teacher to help small business owners really connect to their stories about why they're doing what they're doing. Because it's so interesting to me that we started with you sharing how someone was like, oh, I just didn't write. I was blocked, right? And we know that there were very possibly a lot of things going on there. But so often, don't we all? I mean, I think everyone here is a business owner. We all are, even our artistic careers, our small businesses, side businesses. We are passionate about what we do. How hung up do we get when trying to put it into words, right? When trying to share it with others. And a part of that, a big part of that, is that one, we're afraid of being thought of as like a salesperson. Oh, she's just gonna sell me, right? So part of it is our internalized fear, but our internalized fear doesn't come from nowhere, right? We do exist in a society that does frequently in lots of different ways try to silence our voices, right? And so, but succumbing to that is the end, right? It really is the end of all that we are here to do. And so I actually not only feel that it's critical for you to really write the origin story and share it, but it also just occurred to me that you might be wonderful at helping other people, you know, do that as well. Not to take you off track from what you're already doing so incredibly, it just occurred to me as like a special intensive that could be something you did a few times a year.
Yes, I love the questions, and thank you, Kate, for putting the questions in the chat. Those are really powerful questions that get right to the heart of it. And really focus what to talk about.
Right.
And, you know, because you also know my story better than anyone of why I'm in LA right now. And yes. So that was a piece of what motivated all of this. But I really don't think that's as pertinent. I think it goes deeper to why I'm doing these workshops. And I love why am I doing the way that I am doing them and what...
Right.
you know, what difference has it made for me and for others? Those are all such good questions. And I actually have access to another workshop of that I took with a woman who focused on origin story. And she put a lot of energy and effort into crafting a workshop about that. So I automatically just go to, oh, first I'll have to take her workshop, then I'd have to devise something better than that.
Right.
She's really good at it. I would really like to just refer people to her for that.
Yeah, which is
specific.
Right, which is also great. And again, you know, again, I just sort of feel like everybody has, you bring a particular way that you coach writers. And this other person who is brilliant at, you know, origins, again, I'm sure there's a particular way that she coaches writers. And so it just might be that you said, you know, I'd have to come up with something more brilliant, but it also just might be that you have a different road in, right? Certainly, there are a number of different ways that we can approach things. And again, this is all a part of, I think, the work that it's so important for us to do. How are you, Karen, different from other writing coaches? How is your process, the experience of being with you, working with you, how is that different? Because imagine if we said, oh, well, there are just so many people coaching writers. And I mean, there's some, they're great ones out there. What, right? Yes. And there is something very special about working with you, right? And the more that we are all clear, right? So for Elizabeth, the more that Elizabeth is clear on what is it to work on voiceover coaching and dialect coaching with Elizabeth. I don't know, Raquel, what you do, but what is it to work with Raquel? What does that look like? Because it is unlikely that we are the only people in the world doing what it is that we do. But it certainly is a very particular experience to work with us. And if we didn't believe that, then it's unlikely that we would have enough drive to do the hard work of running a business. And so that is powerful. It is important that we know, and own to our core, and that we build that confidence. The voices are going to come in. I don't know. Why would they work with me? Why not work with that other person? Right? The voices are going to come in, but we have to answer that question. Why? Why? Why should they work with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I love what you're saying. What it does make me think about is that in this space that I'm talking about, it probably would be beneficial to shape a series of workshops towards some end so that there would be an intention there.
Yes.
To access something specific as opposed to just free them up. I think that that might be a better way to go.
Absolutely, right? It might be a page on their website, right? Mm. It might be the introduction to a workshop that they are giving, right? Because, you know, to go back to your specific question here, I really believe that when you are when you have the opportunity to share your work, the people are going to experience your work. But it is also critical that you utilize the opportunity to establish the framework for them of what are they here to do today and why, right? I know that we are always going to encounter people who attend free or low cost workshops like this, kind of like, you know, what's she here to sell me? And I'm not going to be sold anything, right? And I think that one of the biggest mistakes that we make is when we change how we would authentically show up because of our sort of fear about those people, right? Those people are out there. And there are all kinds of quotes. There's one that I don't know off the top of my head, but it's always resonated with me about not allowing other people to dim your light, right? And it's a real thing. It's a real thing we do if we're not really purposely determined not to. But in order to not allow people to dim our light, we have to be totally clear, what's the light? What is, when Karen is shining at her brightest, what is that? What are you excited to tell me about the process of being a writer? What excites you, right? What do you, are you so passionate about the stories that we can all tell if we get out of our way? And how have you found we get out of our way? And there's such an opportunity for you to say, and I am so excited for you guys to be here experiencing a group. Yes, today it's only going to be for, I don't know, an hour or whatever the length is of this free offering. But here's what I know, because I see it every day. This is, will give you a taste of what it is to write as a part of an ongoing group environment. I'm making this up now, but one of my favorite things is when I work with groups for a quarter, up to a year, that is where the magic happens. Do you see, this is true. And yes, should someone be inspired, you offer the way to do that. But you don't just offer it because, oh, here's a package I could offer. You offer it for a reason. One of the biggest struggles slash arguments slash, you know, challenges that I have had with Abundance Bound over what is now more than 17 years. And struggles when I'm working with coaches, struggles with sometimes partners in the business, is that I am absolutely passionate about the group setting. I believe to my core that the most powerful work in terms of our financial relationships happen in the group setting. Yes, there is a wonderful place for coaching. Absolutely. One-on-one, there's a wonderful place for it. But in my ideal, It's as a part of, it's as an extra support to the group setting, right? Now, we know that there are lots of people who offer one-on-one, very expensive, intensive one-on-one. And I know I could do that. But I believe in the group setting. I believe, and I'm so passionate about the magic that happens there, right? So that's what I want you all to connect to. If for you it's one-on-one, or for you it's whatever it is, why do you do it the way that you do it? We've just moved to Panama City from Boquete. And that's the echo, by the way, guys. There's no furniture in the house. So the whole house just echoes right now. But in Boquete, my dogs were able to really run and play. And here in the city, I really am going to need to walk them much more, right? And one of them is sweet as pie, but she is impossible on the leash, just impossible. I cannot physically do it on the leash. So I've been talking to trainers here in Panama City. And one of them, very highly reviewed, he comes to your house, he works with you, you set up 8 sessions minimum to start, and there's a process. He's British, by the way. He's got a whole, like, this is how we work with the dog. Great, comes very well reviewed. Another one, it's a couple. They work with you for half an hour individually every week, but then you're expected to come to a minimum of 2 and up to 4 group sessions in the park that are gatherings with other dogs and things like that. Now, do you guys see? Both of these people are very highly reviewed, but do you see how they both have very different philosophies about how they're going to work with us and with our fur baby, right? Now, I'm leaning towards the group because one of the things I feel is that we get her to the place where she's just perfect as long as there's no distractions, right? And that she's suddenly a wild thing again. But do you see how both of these businesses are very clear on their system, and they believe in their system and what we will get working with them? But for me to go to the British guy who's runs right and be like, oh, well, what about your group classes? He'd be like, I don't do that, right? So that's just a story that hopefully helps you visualize, right? There are many different ways. What's your way?
I love that so much, Miata. I love the opportunity to get passionate about groups. Yeah. And I think that's a great way in for me, because it kind of takes the focus off of more about me, you know, like the whole origin story piece. And it's like, well, this is what I love doing.
Yes.
And for many of the same reasons that I feel you have stated. So yeah. I agree about that. And I thank you for this infectious energy, because I can take that with me and feel that, because I just resonate with that so much.
Yeah. Getting in touch with what we feel, right? And we all also, we present in different ways, but our passion is what we need to have underneath that, is our passion. I mean, oh my goodness, sometimes I really wish that I'd had the foresight to save some of my early websites, you know, 17 years ago for Abundance Bound, and some recordings. I wish there were recordings of some of my early classes. And because I was very, I would say, caught up in the, well, what are my credentials, right? And how do I seem serious and like I should be doing this important thing? And it really didn't resonate because it really wasn't me. And what's so funny, I was sharing this the other day with someone. I can't remember when the last time was that I was asked, oh, what degrees do you have, right? But in my early years, I got that question all the time. And I really think it was because in my early years, like, I just seemed very unsure about what it was that I was doing. And I felt insecure that I had the right to do it. And so people wanted proof. They wanted pieces of paper that said, what letters do you have after your name that should write? And I think that's a part of the pressure that we allow to dim our light, is that feeling of not being enough. You are enough. You are more than enough. And what you have to offer is powerful.
Oh, this is so great. Thank you so much, Mia.
You're welcome. Thanks for bringing great questions. Such wonderful questions that allowed us to talk about some good stuff, I think. Well, you guys, we can call it if everybody feels like you've gotten what you need today.
Yeah. I can say that I got much more than I expected, just for showing up and listening to everything that you said. It was profound and extremely helpful.
I'm so glad. Thank you, Raquel. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for embodying that enthusiasm, for turning back to the why.
Yeah.
Really powerful, that urge to self-justify can be so powerful. And it's really what's behind that that's most important. So it beautifully communicated today. Thank you so much.
So welcome. You're so welcome. All right, you guys. Well, I will be covering next week our last session for the month for Creating Cash Flow Coaching in the Financial Empowerment Program. Also, I'll just remind you that Friday we have our mindset call. I will be covering the mindset call on Friday as well. Just keep an eye, check out the June calendar so you make sure, again, especially that mastery conversation. And if you can't attend live, I just really want to highlight it for our cash flow members because I think you'll find it valuable. All right.
Thank you so much. And thanks everyone for being
here. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.